Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come, Joel. Seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
In our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No.
No.
I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, you're going to make it happen.
And Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text to your voicemails. We'll get to those in later in this week. Matt, it's good to be back with you on the mics. Holy shit, do we have a disaster of a basketball team in this city.
Jordan, what's up, man? What's up, Bulls Nation? Glad to be with you on the mics today. And yeah, I feel like things have gone from terrible to really, really, really terrible since the last time we were on the mics together. 14-27 at the halfway point. That's the same record this team had in the first year of the rebuild when they were actively trying to lose basketball games. But don't worry. Pathetic. According to Jim Boylan, everything is fine.
It's about the growth plates, right?
Oh, so many growth plates. Big, fat growth plates.
So we want to spend today's episode talking a little bit more about Jim Boylan in the front office. I know Matt and I haven't had a chance to go back and forth and kind of talk about this collectively. Matt, I know you spent a little bit of time, and we spent time pretty much on every episode talking about Jim Boylan in some capacity, but I think more towards the future of what's going on with, you know, we heard rumors from David Kaplan that big organizational changes are coming. There was a follow-up piece from Casey Johnson. It's been really the talk of Bulls Twitter for the last couple of weeks, so I kind of wanted to dive more into that and maybe push mailbag off till tomorrow, so that is exactly what we're going to do. Matt, let's start with the coach. Let's start with Jim Boylan. How much longer do you think they can go with him, keep going like this? I mean, are they really going to roll into All-Star Weekend hosting it in February and have Jim Boylan being your talking point of every national show for a week?
Yeah, I mean, unless Zach LaVine somehow makes a miraculous come from behind to make the All-Star team and or decides to participate in the dunk contest or the three-point contest, and then that can be a talking point as far as how the Bulls factor into being the host city's team at All-Star Weekend. Other than that, the Bulls are a story of underwhelming underachievement. Like, they're a failure based on the goals that they set for themselves at the beginning of this season. And, I don't know how many times we have to listen to other coaches give this lip service to Jim Boylan and his team. Oh, the Bulls play hard. They play so hard. You know, they're fighting. They're a tough team. They're a tough team to beat. It's like, dude, does anybody believe that? This team has one win over a 500 team halfway through an 82-game season. So, yeah, I think there's got to be plenty of attention and focus on Jim Boylan's job performance and the direction of this franchise when everybody and all the important people in this league, players, executives, and beyond, come to Chicago in a month.
That's been something that I've been kicking around with a couple people at the Score, is just asking, like, do you think that they're, like, if this continues to go the way it is, where the Bulls pick up a win once every 2 or 3 weeks, are they going to really roll into All-Star Weekend with Jim Boylan as their head coach? And I've been trying to push back on some people saying, like, maybe that is when they're going to make change, if they want to make change at some point this season, just so that storyline isn't the one that the national headlines are going to be running with for a week straight. But even then, I don't think it covers up the fact that this Bulls team has been a disappointment for 3 years of this rebuild now. So I think it's going to be an extension, but I'm not sure. I mean, with Jim Boylan, it seems like John Paxson isn't going to go anywhere. So that seems like his right-hand man. But I have to, if I'm the front office, I have to look at the players too. That's the thing that I keep looking at throughout all of these games. How are the players responding to Jim Boylan throughout the game? And it seems like every single game, more disconnection and more disconnection. It seems like players continue to get added to this list.
Yeah, and I mean, to your question of, you know, will Jim Boylan still be running this clown car by the time, you know, everybody arrives for All-Star Weekend? The answer is unequivocally yes. I mean, I would be like, you know, heart attack level shocked if they fire Jim before the season is over. I do not think they're doing that. And when we finally heard from John Paxson, you know, a few weeks ago when he spoke to, you know, specific members of Bulls media in one-on-one interviews that he granted, he doubled down on supporting Jim Boylan and believing that they are doing the right things. And yeah, the wins haven't come yet, but that he still very much has the support of management and ownership. And they, you know, we've talked about this before too, Jordan. If you fire Jim Boylan halfway through the first season after the offseason in which you gave him an extension on his contract, you are admitting your own failure to hire the right guy with, you know, no coaching search. So this season's going to be ugly, and Jim Boylan's going to finish this season. And if these rumors about, you know, massive overhaul, I think is the phrase that David Kaplan used, if those are true, you would think that that also means Jim Boylan will be gone. But if John Paxson is still here, that's not a guarantee.
Before I get to rearranging the pantry, which seems like that's the massive overhaul the Bulls are going to do, to the point of Jim Boylan really fast. We're
getting rid of all of our gym equipment and replacing everything with a Peloton. That's our that's our overhaul.
You know, I stopped by my parents and I looked, and my dad was cleaning out the pantry, and I'm like, oh, you're moving the cereal from the first shelf to the third shelf. That's like literally what the Bulls are doing. It's like, yeah, we're going to move Gar Forman from having some type of power and role in this organization. You're just going to go scout now. And yeah, Jim Boylan, you're going to hang around for a while. And John Paxson, you're still going to be a main focus of this team. We'll get that there in a second, though. I want to stay on Jim Boylan for a minute. Would you think that their Bulls are going to keep him here? Like, I'm just trying to think long term now, like 2 or 3 years down the road. I get the extension part. Is that the main reason why they wouldn't fire him right now? Because it can't be for performance, right? This team is terrible, and the performances from all of the young players. It seems like every single young guy on this team, with the exception of maybe Chris Dunn, has regressed in some fashion. And I get it; injuries already play in a factor there too. But if I can't see the Bulls, if there was a reason to fire Jim Boylan and the only thing that was hanging them up was the fact that they gave him an extension in the summer without doing a coaching search, I'd rather you just clear the problem. Like, okay, you're going to get slammed for that anyway, but if moving on from Jim Boylan is the clear answer and your players aren't buying in, Jim's system doesn't seem to be working,
right,
and it's only going to better your basketball team, then why not?
Yeah, and that's the reality that the, you know, the Bulls management is facing right now that they don't want to face is, two wrongs don't make a right. You fucked up when you said that Jim Boylan was the right guy to lead this rebuild. And now you fucked up again because you're doubling down on it instead of admitting your mistake. And I think even as sick of this fan base is of this management and the 17-year reign of terror of John Paxson, and are so desperate for change and are so quick to criticize every wrong move that he or Gar or Michael Reinsdorf make, we could all appreciate at the very least them being honest with us instead of gaslighting us. We messed up. Jim's not the right guy. He doesn't have what it takes. He's not getting through to these players. And instead of panic trading a quality young piece that you have that you're trying to build around because they look bad in Jim's system, admit that you made the mistake with the coach and give this roster a real shot with somebody who can do a better job.
I don't understand, too, the fact that the Bulls can play so well in first halves and then Jim Boylan makes zero adjustments and he just lets them go out there and get smashed in the second half. And his players clearly recognize that, right? Like, some of these games of the past few weeks, Zach LaVine has taken the ball in third or fourth quarters for good, for the better or for the worse, has said, fuck you, I'm going out there and I'm going to try and win this game because it seems like I'm the only dude who can score on this team. That's caused a lot of issues, and I don't think Jim Boylan has necessarily resolved any of that. And that was something that we talked about last year, even, Matt. Jim Boylan's failure to make second half adjustments. It was something that we even talked about with Fred Hoiberg with this young team, is how do you get young guys to be able to change midway through a game. It seems like Jim Boylan and Fred Hoiberg have had problems with that. And it's like we're in a simulation, man. We watch the same game now for what, half the season, 41 games in. We've watched the same game 41 times over and over and over again. And Jim Boylan, I don't understand how you can be a front office member, somebody who's evaluating talent on this team in the third year of the rebuild, and still think Jim Boylan can turn this around and put things together. I don't see any glimpse of hope from any of these guys from the system that Jim Boylan's putting in.
I don't know why you should either. And that's why, you know, when we got these comments from Boylan on Monday about, hey, you're halfway through the season, can you assess your team a little bit? And the first thing he said was, you know, like he likes the growth that he's seen from his team. And it's like, dude, what are you talking about? What growth? You're 14 and 27. You continue to lose games the same way. And the most, you know, the adjustments and, you know, more accurately lack thereof that you're referring to is the most frustrating part, especially in this recent stretch of games since Wendell went down. Because Jim Boylan wanted to constantly point to, look how good our defense is. Look at our defensive rating. Yeah, offense is still trying to come together. And Paxson, when he spoke, saying, you know, maybe we underestimated the amount of time it would take to really install the system and get the players to understand it and execute it successfully. Because, they're the 28th ranked offense in the NBA. But hey, look at our defense, Jim Boylan. But hey, look at our defense. Okay, some of that is gimmicky stats because they lead the league in creating takeaways. But they don't turn those takeaways into points because they can't run fast breaks for the life of them.
It's ridiculous.
And their half-court offense is dog shit. And then, like, Wendell goes down and he refuses to change his defensive scheme that relies on a solid player like Wendell to cover so much ground defensively. He learned in the first month of the season with Cornette in the rotation that Cornette cannot play the style of defense. Wendell gets hurt, he starts playing Cornette 20 minutes a night again, and you're seeing the same shit over and over again. It's like, dude, do you not learn from your mistakes and adjust? Because that's kind of a requirement to be a head coach in the highest level of basketball or any sport.
Well, you know, Matt, Luke Cornett was brought in for his spirit and his character, right?
Oh, my God. I'm going to kill myself.
I couldn't even believe that's what he said. I get you trying to put one-ups to your guy who had a tough start to the season. But, dude, seriously, like how many more times is he going to repeat that about one of his players? I think he said it about all 15 guys with the exception of Cristiano Felicio at one point in the last
clearly,
two seasons.
You know, clearly Denzel. I don't know what he has against Denzel, but dude, outside of Zach LaVine, the Bulls were 3 of 19 from 3-point range Monday night, and Denzel can't get in this rotation. Jim Boylan harping on analytics and wanting to be a team that shoots a lot of threes and gets layups, and you can't get Denzel in the rotation? What's wrong with his character, man?
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Getting the Jabari treatment. We'll talk about the front office in a minute, but for our listeners, I wanted to remind you guys, we are sponsored. Today's show is sponsored by Echelon. Echelon is the best way to get your fitness in. I know a lot of people started the new year, a lot of people's goals to lose weight, get healthier, get fit. You hear everybody talking about the Peloton, but the cost of those connected fitness bikes makes them too expensive for the average person. Introducing Echelon Fit. Go to echelonfit.com to discover their X1 connected fitness bikes that offer a high-quality at-home cycling experience and less than half the price of Peloton. Echelon makes beautifully engineered products for everyone, busy moms and dads, first responders and elite athletes, whatever your activity level may be. And with the daily live and on-demand studio classes right in your home, you'll never have to step foot in a gym. You'll love Echelon, but if you aren't 100% satisfied, we'll give you your money back. That's right. They'll give you your money back. Join the hundreds of thousands of men and women who are getting fit with Echelon. Go to echelonfit.com/LONBA to learn about their limited time free Apple iPad and complete details of this exclusive offer. Hey, free iPad. That's pretty good. That's echelonfit.com/LONBA. Echelon, it's your time. Again, that's echelonfit.com/LONBA, echelonfit.com/LONBA for your fitness bike. Matt, the Bulls front office, like I was referencing before, shuffling the pantry and moving it around and organizing it so it looks nice can appear in the short term to be better, But if you aren't clearing out the food that is moldy, that is rotten, that is disgusting in your pantry, over time it's going to continue to rot everything else until your entire pantry is rotten. This is exactly what the Bulls are going to do if they just shuffle things. If this is quote unquote their big organizational change is to move Gar Forman, basically just pluck the title from him, but he's still doing the same thing he's been doing for the last 2 years, is just scouting. And then you bring somebody in outside the organization who's going to be another Jerry Reinsdorf pal or somebody connected to this Bulls team, and you continue to let Pax basically run this entire operation. How is that any different? What kind of change is that? I don't understand. Unless you're going to bring in a guy like, you're going to steal Mejuri away from the Toronto Raptors, which clearly isn't going to happen.
Yeah, right.
Unless you're going to bring in a guy like that, it's the same thing. It's just a different face and a different name.
Right. Which is the frustrating part about the slight difference of what we heard from Kaplan and then what we heard from Casey Johnson, a couple days later, because Kaplan said, quote, from what I hear, they are readying a plan to overhaul everything in basketball operations, end quote. Casey Johnson earlier this week saying, according to sources, nothing has been definitively decided, but everything is on the table except one thing. Paxson is still held in high regard by Chairman Jerry Reinsdorf and will be counted on to figure prominently in basketball operations. So that's where the contradiction is. John Paxson, you know, being included in what Kaplan was calling a, you know, overhaul everything when it comes to basketball ops, and Casey Johnson saying, no, they still very much value John Paxson and he will be prominently figured in basketball operations even if they bring new people in. Which likely means that John Paxson will be a part of the decision-making of who they bring in. And the biggest issue about this, Jordan, to me, is this. The whole thing about John Paxson, remember when he went on the radio and was talking with your boy Parkins over at 670 The Score, and there was like the infamous interview where he said these were starting to feel like interrogations, and another part of that was John Paxson trying to deny and refute this negative outside perception that other teams around the league have about the Bulls, big star players around the league have about the Bulls, agents, executives. Guess what? Perception is reality. And John Paxson, for as much as he might try, cannot deny that. So when it comes to, you know, you mentioned Masai Ujiri or whoever else it might be, if the Bulls do want to bring in, you know, quote-unquote, fresh set of eyes to try and help this this bad rebuild along and shuffle things up a bit, if Paxson's still here, who wants to even take an interview with this team? Because perception is reality.
It'll be anybody that's connected to Pax or Jerry Reinsdorf in the last 30 years. I saw somebody who I almost deactivated my Twitter the other day when I saw somebody write underneath the comments. I think it was a Casey Johnson's post. It was literally just like, quote unquote, we like to welcome in our new regime of Doug Pax instead of Gar Pax. I'm like, if that happens,
dude.
If it turns to Doug Pax instead of Gar Pax, I don't know.
Doug,
is there even a
Doug
point
Pax
to be a fan?
And head coach Chris Collins?
Oh, my God. Yeah, and Chris Collins is one of only two NBA one of two coaches in the Big Ten with an under 500 record. You know who that other coach is, too?
The Wildcats suck, man. The Wildcats suck.
The Wildcats suck, and Fred Hoiberg's Huskers suck. Every other team in the Big Ten has an above 500 record. Unbelievable.
Dude, wouldn't you take Fred back in a heartbeat right now instead of Jim Boylan?
I didn't want him to leave. I was somebody who was totally on board with not firing him. It was so pissed off last December when they did that. And
hey,
oh
man,
my God,
they gave him one game with Lauri Markkanen and couldn't get it done.
Well, I would take Milk Toast Fred Hoiberg over Jim Boylan every single day.
Yeah. Yeah, I would too. Yeah,
at least Lauri Markkanen wouldn't look like a ghost of himself.
Oh my God, dude, 9 shots in 25 minutes Monday night? What the
hell
is that?
Jim Boylan has broken him. Jim Boylan has absolutely broken him.
He's broken his game and he's broken his spirit. You listen to Lowry talk post game, you know, when he gets, you know, locker room interviews for post game live, and it's like the kid just looks and sounds so depressed. not just like disengaged and disinterested, but like legit depressed. Jim Boylan has broken him. And again, some people think both of us, or me in particular, are like Lowry apologists. And to some sense, that is true. Because I refuse to believe that he's this bad, based on the good version of Lowry that we've seen. Some of it is on him. He has to be more aggressive. He has to, when he gets opportunities to take advantage of mismatches, actually do so. Like, you know, how many times have we seen him pass the ball when he's got an undersized guard on him? That shit's on Lowry. But this offensive system that Jim's playing is I think, more responsible for this ridiculous downturn, this ridiculous regression that we've seen from Lowry this season.
Combine that with the fact that now that Lowry has zero confidence, can't knock down a shot consistently, it makes Zach LaVine not be able to trust him, especially late in the game. Who can Zach LaVine look at and turn to, besides maybe Kobe White here and there, to say, hey, I think I trust you to knock down a shot with 8 minutes left, and you know we only have a 5 or 6 point lead. He can't look to Lowry like he did back in February, and Otto Porter isn't there, and Wendell Carter Jr. is out. So who's the guy that Zach LaVine can turn to consistently and say, if I'm getting doubled, I'm not knocking down shots tonight, who can I kick it out to and rely on that guy to knock it down more often than not? He doesn't have anybody. And that's what sucks, because Lowry was supposed to be that guy. And I don't know if it's a fact of Lowry hasn't been 100% healthy this year, or if it's the fact that Jim Boylan has screwed it into Lowry's head that we're playing by a system, not you, not this system is built around you or built around LaVine. We're all going to play as a team. I think that, just listening to what Lowry says throughout his post games, I think that's broken him more than anything, is Jim Boylan's drilled this into his head that he's got to play within this system, and this system isn't fitting Lowry Markkanen. It's only making him regress as a player, and it sucks to watch. And I keep saying this over and over and over and over again, Matt, but Lowry Markkanen misses Robin Lopez so much. Robin Lopez used to help him box out. Lowry would grab the rebound. He'd be able to take it up the floor, and that's when we saw the Bulls' offense work. Lowry Markkanen misses a guy that will box out and help him rebound and be able to actually be a threat underneath the basket. He misses that dude. We don't have that dude consistently anymore.
I think you're right, and I think the other thing that he misses and has never honestly really ever had is an actual point guard.
You know,
people talk about
too, yeah.
Zach LaVine and whether or not he can be a point guard. You know, we've had people sending us texts and mailbag questions about should they just make Zach LaVine the point guard of this team. We saw Zach make some strides with his playmaking ability last season. We also saw him make some really, you know, like, face-palming mistakes when trying to be a playmaker, especially late in games last season. He is one of two guys, along with Kobe, who can create his own shot on this team. But, you know, it's like Satoransky has been underwhelming. He's leading this team in assists per game, but it's been underwhelming, and he doesn't appear to be a true point guard, and maybe is not doing that because that's not what Jim Boylan wants. Jim Boylan wants this free-flowing, like, multi-ball handler system where you try and move the ball around, players, you know, make cuts, you know, off the ball and get yourself a good shot with threes and layups. But it's like there is no person running the offense, and it's a young team, and they don't know what they're supposed to be doing. And because of Lowry's, you know, lack of aggression by nature, and he's not a demand the ball kind of player yet, and who knows if he ever will be, that's why he is so suffering. And you see, like, you know, every other game he has fewer than 10 shots, and it's I've said this jokingly on Outsiders, the Bulls have 6 or 7 point guards, quote unquote, on their roster, but no actual point guard. And that has hurt Lowry tremendously.
I'm with you on that, too. I think that is a huge, huge part of it, too. You know, can't play pick and roll just with Zach LaVine. We haven't seen it a whole lot either. Doesn't have a guy that can distribute. Lowry doesn't play a whole lot of great defense. Looks pretty weak on that side, too. It's hard when you're asked to be the guy to just be the big man, stepping out, taking a three. Being asked to do that, basically, that's your number one job. I remember bitching and complaining about Nico Mirotic in the same respect, as for a while the Bulls, all they wanted him to do was step out and take threes. And I was like, why are we doing this with Nico? I thought he was a scorer. I thought he was better than this. I don't want that to happen with Lowry. And I think it all goes back to the fact that he's lost so much confidence in himself. And I don't know if it's going to take a whole offseason to kind of recover from this, but I don't know how you turn this around. How a young player can turn it around when you're not winning games, when you're losing in the fashion that the Bulls do. This doesn't just affect Lowry. It affects Coby White, affects Daniel Gafford, Wendell Carter Jr., any guy on this team under 25. It's hard. It's hard to come to the realization that you're going to go night in and night out, and you're going to find different, surprising, interesting ways to lose games late.
Yeah, and I don't have the answer. I don't know how these young players recover from it. But you know what, Jordan? You know how I would and could recover from the terrible months of Chicago winter? Going out to Arizona.
How's
for
that?
Some spring training baseball, baby.
Woo.
This spring, follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona is the perfect home base for baseball fans. Arizona's one-of-a-kind spring training experience includes 10 stadiums from 15 different Major League Baseball teams in the best part, Chicagoans, 75-degree temperatures. All 10 stadiums are in the greater Phoenix area within 50 miles of one another. You can meet the players, get autographs before the games, and that's not all. There's so much to see and do nearby. Check out amazing restaurants and bars, including tons of craft breweries like Four Peaks, Angel's Trumpet, Ale House, and Goldwater Brewing Company. I know my fellow Chicago love them some craft breweries. Enjoy live music from local and national artists. Explore museums featuring everything from native heritage to modern art to musical instruments from around the world. And best part for you family folk, this is a kid-friendly event out there in Arizona for spring training. Fantastic destination for families. Resorts and hotels offer plenty of fun for kids of all ages, from water parks to horseback rides to games and activities. Tons of stuff for kids to do and see, like wildlife parks, science museums, aquariums, and dude ranches. Plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. That's visitarizona.com/springtraining. I want to go now. When does spring training start? I got to get the hell out of Chicago and stop watching basketball, Jordan.
That's for sure. I know. I know. It can't come soon enough. Isn't that for sure?
Only 41 to go, baby.
My question, Matt. For real. My question, kind of to wrap this whole thing up, and this is another thing that I noticed. I was working the Celtics game the other night. Why? And this has been a question been asked on Twitter a ton by Bulls fans. Why the hell are they trying to change Thaddeus Young's game? What is this, 13 years into his career, 12 years into his career? Why are the Bulls all of a sudden trying to recreate Thaddeus Young? And Thaddeus Young, you can tell, is pissed off. In that Celtics game, when he was in the game, every time he just called for it. He's like, give me the ball. I'm gonna do me. I'm going to make me look good, because ultimately then I can get traded. I can go to a contender, because I don't want any part
of
this Bulls
team
right
now. And it was the most useful version of Thaddeus Young that we had seen in a Bulls uniform, because it was,
yes,
Thaddeus Young playing his game. You know, you were talking earlier about Nico and how, you know, the Bulls, you know, just turn him into a three-point shooter. That's sadly what's happening with Lowry right now, too. And they also did it to Thad Young. Thad Young. And, like, you know, one of my favorite things about Bulls Twitter this season is Thad Young's wife. Just, like, zero fucks to give snark when people are talking about Thad Young, like, not looking like a useful player and a guy who is worth the free agent money that he paid. And she's like, maybe it's because he's doing what his coach is telling him to do. It's his second highest 3-point attempts per game numbers of his entire 12-year career, and that's never been his game. My buddy Sabine on Outsiders calls his 3-point shot the trebuchet shot, because it takes him so long to get it off. Like, and he's never been a solid 3-point shooter. He's been, like, decent, like low 30s across his career, but it's like what, like you said, in that Celtics game, he was like, dude, F this, and was just like, give me the ball in the post. And he scored 17 points off the bench, and we were like, oh, right, that's Thaddeus Young.
And this is only, this is knocking Thaddeus Young at all. This is only bad for this Bulls team, because a lot of these players, I feel like, and over the next few weeks, we'll probably see it, the Bulls continue losing games. Most of these guys are just going to go out there and try to do things for themselves, build their own stats up. What's the point of playing as a team?
Zach's been doing it for a while now, man.
But, I mean, Zach's the only one that can score consistently on this team, so I don't blame him for that. The thing that's going to piss me off is watch guys like Chandler Hutchison or pick your guy off the bench. That's just going to try to go out there and do it for themselves. And that's gonna ruin any type of momentum this Bulls team has. But I can only turn it back onto Jim Boylan and the coaching staff for making it come to this point. Poor Thaddeus Young, man. That dude, if the Bulls have any sense in the world, they will trade him and not ruin his reputation, not have him ruin the Bulls' reputation or anything that's left of it, the scraps of reputation that the Bulls have left. I was talking to Tony East, and he was like, oh, hey, how's Thaddeus Young doing for you guys this year? We loved him in Indiana. And I'm like, yeah, you guys, I bet you guys did. I'm like, Jim Boylan's trying to change him a decade throughout his career, and now he's a three-point shooter, and he's not as effective. I told him, I'm like, you know, the way that the Bulls are playing Thaddeus Young is not worth the money that we spent to bring Thaddeus Young in here. And I said, the person's fault that is Jim Boylan, John Paxson, and Gar Foreman for saying, hey, yeah, you can commit to this. This is what we plan on doing. And then when you get to training camp, they're like, yeah, you know what? We're going to change your game around.
Right. Which, as we've heard from a couple different, you know, media outlets, is the conversation the Bulls had with Thad when they scout or when they were, you know, pursuing him in free agency. You know, obviously, you know, we value your veteran leadership role that you could bring to our young team, but we also, you know, really want you to come and contribute on the court. And yes, we have two young guys in our front court, Lowry and Wendell, so you will be playing a bench role, but it'll still be a significant role. And what I have heard is that they essentially promised him that he'd play 30 minutes a night, even in a role coming off the bench. Clearly, when the news broke a few weeks ago that he was unhappy and would, you know, be asking his agent to make a trade happen if things didn't change, that he was averaging 21 minutes a night and doing so with a game that the Bulls forced him to change. They didn't, you know, and these are words from Thad's mouth himself. You know, the whole like multi-ball handler system, and we're not going to use post up at all, and we're not going to play the kind of game that you know how to play and could actually help our team win. No, that was stuff that happened that, you know, that Jim introduced in September and October. And they signed Thad before that, and they did not tell Thad that. And it's just like that coupled with Thad, you know, making this news public that he's unhappy and everyone else around the NBA seeing that, who knows? Maybe the Bulls can execute a trade and send him somewhere where he will, you know, happily go to a contender for the back half of this season. But it's another piece of evidence that suggests that this team makes players unhappy. This organization treats players poorly. Thad Young, as you said, you know, talking to some Pacers guys, is like, we were so sad to lose him. Just like a first-class character guy, great locker room guy across the board. Everywhere he goes, everybody loves Thad Young. And Thad Young's like, I'm going to come to Chicago and help y'all build this. 2 months into the season, 2 months into his first year with this organization, he's like, yo, get me the fuck out of here.
I don't blame him.
Perception is reality, people.
And the funny thing is Tony was telling me, he said, he's like, I would not be surprised if Thad Young is wanted by like a dozen teams. He's like, he's the only dude that consistently can play good defense on Giannis. The only guy that can stop Giannis. So somebody's going to want
him. Which is one of the big reasons the Bulls wanted to sign him.
For what? To be an eighth seed? And here, you can go out and guard Giannis. He's going to drop 40 because the Bulls' defense is trash. But the only thing,
maybe we got swept by Milwaukee in the first round, God. But we did win a first quarter in one of those four games.
You know, and the other thing to spin this really fast, John Paxson saved himself or he threw Jim Boylan under the bus, one of the two with this, because this confirms it with Thaddeus Young saying that Jim Boylan's system had changed. John Paxson also noted that when he talked to the media a few weeks ago, you know, in his private stories, there's one section where he said Jim Boylan, another factor to the season being difficult was I did not know Jim Boylan was going to change his system, specifically his offense. He said, that was new to me, so it took some time for guys to learn that. And I'm like, okay, well, how could you go out and pitch to free agents all summer long that the Bulls are going to play one way, and then all of a sudden you come in September, October, and find out that your head coach is going to change the system completely? Like, and maybe John Paxson is completely truthful, like, and Jim Boylan's just a big dummy, and he didn't tell anybody, but I just don't understand how you can go after free agents and pitch guys and find the right players and then all of a sudden change your system a month before the season starts. I don't understand that.
And somehow, simultaneously, we're hearing that a head coach and management have never been more in lockstep with this Bulls organization in you know, umpteen years, that Jim and John and everybody's on the same page, because they've been preaching that motto pretty heavily despite how poorly things have gone this season. And then, you know, John comes out and finally addresses the media when his team is, you know, pooping on itself despite their higher expectations, and says, well, yeah, maybe I misinterpreted or miscalculated. I think he used the term miscalculated. This installment of Jim's system. But don't worry, we're totally in lockstep. We're totally on the same page with everything. Well, clearly not. So which is it?
Oh, all right. Prediction time here as we get out of here. All-Star Weekend comes up. Is Jim Boylan still the head coach? Is Gar Forman still in his role? Is John Paxson still in his role?
When All-Star Weekend arrives?
Yep.
Like this season's All-Star Weekend?
Correct.
Like in 4 weeks?
Correct.
Yes. Yes and yes. None of those three men will be losing their posts anytime in the next month. Not happening.
Interesting. I'm going to...
Do you think differently?
I think there's a 60% chance Jim Boylan is fired before All-Star Weekend.
What?
I think they're... I'm just thinking about the way that the Bulls act and the way that they want to be perceived. Going into All-Star Weekend and basically being one of the laughing stock teams in front of all of these All-Stars, in front of every person that is a somebody in the NBA, and Jim Boylan is going to be your talking point. Like, if the Bulls spend the next 4 weeks and they win, what, five games out of I don't know how many they play, what, 15, 12, 15? They win four or five games. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how you can't at least think about it. There can't be, like, maybe he doesn't get fired, but there has to be conversations, more so than what we're having right now. But I think there's a 60% chance Jim Boylan is fired.
I suppose it's possible, knowing that, yes, John Paxson just addressed the media a couple weeks ago and said, I'm doubling down in my support of Jim Boylan, that in spite of that, they could 180 and finally actually face the facts that they messed up and fire him and get have somebody, Fleming or whoever, interim for the rest of the season and figure it out this offseason, because we do have evidence of them doing that. John Paxson gave full support to Fred Hoiberg like a week before they unceremoniously and unexpectedly canned Fred Hoiberg. So I guess there is precedent for this, but to me, this is even more egregious error from the front office, and firing Jim mid-season is admitting to having so much egg on your stupid face that you can't do it yet. You can say, we gave Jim a full year to try, and now we're going in a different direction, especially because, important to note, yeah, they gave him an extension, but he's still one of the lowest paid head coaches across the NBA. So they can pay him to go away for a lot less money than they did to pay Tibbs and to pay Fred to go away, if they want to do that and face the reality that they messed up. But to do it mid-season, no. They're going to give Jim this season. They're going to ride it out this season. And perhaps a benefit to that, and Jim's ridiculously rigid, stuck in his ways, I'm glad we've established a system on both ends that are both failing miserably. We're halfway there, Jordan. You got to start talking tank now. You do. That's the ugly reality. I know Bulls fans are sick of that, and we're all sitting here saying, oh, goddamn, we're going to pick seventh again, aren't we? But if Jim Boylan is failing miserably to coach this team, obviously the downside is your players are miserable. But what if they accidentally turn things around and win too many games that they shouldn't win with an interim coach and a breath of fresh air for the players, who are just so relieved to have Jim not yelling down their backs every night, that they play better? And we have another, an instance of like, oh, Nico Mirotic's face healed and he came back and the Bulls had a 7-game winning streak that ruined their lottery odds. That could happen
well,
again.
Well, you know it's coming, because the Bulls are probably. I'm trying to look at their schedule in February again, because this is what happens. Teams coast, the ones that know that they're not going to make the playoffs. Teams that know they're in a good spot, good position, will rest guys. We've already seen it happen a ton in the beginning of the season. So they have Raptors.
Yeah, the Bulls lose those games.
That's
anyway.
True. That is very true. So they have Raptors, Pelicans, 76ers, Wizards, Hornets, Suns, Wizards, Thunder, Knicks. The Bulls may only lose two games
like,
in February.
I heard like maybe three wins in there.
The Bulls may only, if they, oh man, Yeah, the Bulls may, like, if they come out of the All-Star break a little bit refreshed, Zach LaVine continues to light it up, Lauri Markkanen does something, the Bulls may only lose, like, to the Raptors and the 76ers. And that's if the 76ers play everybody. Otherwise, I can see the Bulls getting two wins over the Wizards, a win over the Suns, a win over the Thunder, a win against the Knicks. And then everything's fine, right? Because we play really good in February when nothing matters and we ruin our lottery odds, right?
You saw what happened when the Bulls were up 20-plus against the Thunder, right? No. We ain't winning that game. We ain't winning that game. Come on now.
Oh, man. Well, I hope something big happens. Something does need to happen. I mean, otherwise, literally nobody in this fan base is going to watch. People have already started tuning out. You know, and it's happened over the course of this 3 years, but this, I think, is the most significant. Like, there is literally no buzz. No buzz at all. People are just going right to baseball season. They don't give a shit about the Bulls here. And that's truly sad. So, if the Bulls want to do something to have some type of excitement, they need to make some type of move. I don't care if it's trading every asset that they have to collect assets, to make moves in the offseason to your front office so you have some pieces. When you bring a new set of eyes in here, quote-unquote, then maybe that's the route. Or maybe you just decide to blow it all up and you decide to trade LaVine or trade Markkanen or trade one of the pieces here. Something needs to happen, though. This can't continue.
No, it can't. And, you know, we'll see how All-Star Weekend goes, but I'm sticking with my prediction that I think no organizational changes will happen between now and then. The Bulls will still be a well below 500 team that is underachieving and being laughed at by the league. And, well, I'm glad we had this one fun All-Star Weekend in Chicago, but nobody likes the cold weather locations for All-Star Weekend. And it's been, what, 32, 33 years since the last time the Bulls hosted All-Star Weekend, and it'll be another 32 or 33 after this.
And the Bulls may not even have an All-Star in the game.
Maybe not. I mean, I would say at this point it's likely that they won't. And unless the coaches vote are just like, yeah, Zach LaVine's been, you know, balling hard. He is averaging 30 a game this month. You know, he's picked up that points per game season average. He's playing well. He's certainly scoring well. And maybe they're like, well, all right, Zach LaVine should be a reserve so that the Bulls have.
Yeah,
somebody.
I mean, he's going to get in because, you know, there's going to be three or four guys that say, that I'm hurt. I don't want to play in. Find somebody to fill in my roster spot.
Yeah, maybe some of the guys that get selections don't want to go to Chicago.
I could definitely see that.
Like, oh, it's my All-Star break? Like, to hell with that. I want to go to, like, Maui. Yeah. Or I want to go to the Bahamas. Or, you know, fuck it, Miami. L.A., somewhere that's not Chicago in early February.
That's how I think Zach gets in, is two, three guys on the Eastern Conference team say, you know what, I'm dealing with an injury or, you know, whatever, and he fills their spot as a reserve like you were talking about. So maybe that's how he gets in. That's how he gets in. So I don't know. Pretty depressing here in Chicago, but, yeah, we got...
Watch Jim Boylan and John Paxson take credit for that if it happens.
Jesus.
See? Progress. Hashtag growth plate. Development. God. We have an all-star.
Well, that's going to buy...
And Zach is going to get the all-star respect and honor and nod by basically saying F you to the coach's system and doing mid-April. Something. But they'll still take credit for it.
Yeah, they'll take credit for it at the season-end press conference, and literally the next day it'll be a report. Zach LaVine has asked for a trade. So, we'll see. That's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Thanks again for listening to us today, guys. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. You have any thoughts about what Matt and I talked about for the last 45 minutes, hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop us a text, drop us a call, either way, or tweet at us. Again, at Locked On Bulls, the most important one to tag. But that's going to about do it. Enjoy Wizards and Bulls tonight. See if the Bulls find another way to blow a fourth quarter lead. If they do, we will be back tomorrow to talk about it. For Matt Peck, I am Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.